Good. Thanks, Juman. Morning, friends. For those who I haven't had the privilege yet of greeting and meeting, my name is Nick van Rensburg, part of the eldership team at Bay City Church. My pleasure, my privilege this morning to minister to us. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at a couple of verses from verse 4 to about verse 11. But I'll just read a couple of verses. I'll read verses 4 to 7, and then verse 9, and you can read with me. The title of my message this morning is Rock and Roll, not R-O-L-L, R-O-L-E, Rock and Roll. This is a kind of theme that Peter unpacks in this portion of Scripture. And this is what Peter writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, and he's quoting Isaiah here, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Verse 9. But you are a chosen people. Speaking about the church, you and I. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I just love what Peter does here. He takes a practical illustration to help us understand who we are and what we are part of. And so Peter gives us in this short passage of Scripture a description of the church, who the church is, what makes up the church. And he uses this analogy of a building to describe the church. Whoever has heard the expression, a chip off the old block. So I have a chip off the old block who is now living in Malaysia, working in Penang. And he is, some people say, just like me. He has my character. He has my nature, some of my mannerisms. I think he looks like his mom, but he acts a lot like me, my son Brendan. And so what Peter is doing in this passage of Scripture, he is actually saying that we are chips off the block as Christians. We are to have the character, the nature of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's using it to describe who we are. And I think this is what Peter must have had in mind when writing this text. And he's highlighting a couple of principles. Firstly, he points to Jesus, who Jesus is, and what Jesus has done. And he points to Jesus as the precious cornerstone, and I'll come back to that point now. And then he points to our position and our role as the church, that Jesus is a precious cornerstone. We are being built into a spiritual house, and we ourselves are living stones. So we are like little chips off the block. It's kind of the picture I get when I'm reading this portion of Scripture. And so in build speak, I'm not a builder. We have some builders amongst us. In build speak, the cornerstone is vital. It provides a foundation for the building. And so that's why Peter highlights this, and he brings this out in this portion of Scripture, that it provides a foundation for a building. It is the very first stone laid in a building. And every other stone laid after that finds its alignment and its level according to the cornerstone. The cornerstone is out, the level is out. The cornerstone is out, everything else is wrong, and that building ends up squiff. Good Afrikaans word, I think. Is it? Is it squiff? Made up, not? Skiff. Okay, but this is an English skiff. I call it squiff. What's wrong with that? English skiff, squiff. Aha, got you. Been corrected from the back there. Thank you. And Jesus here is responding to Peter's revelation in Matthew chapter 16. Let's just read it quickly, verse 18. And so Peter, the very man who writes this portion of Scripture about the precious cornerstone and living stones, is actually writing from a revelation that he had. And we can reference Matthew chapter 16. So when Jesus speaks to Peter and says to Peter, "Who do you say I am?" And he says, "You are the Messiah, the living Christ." He's speaking out of a place of revelation. And Jesus says, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, the rock of your revelation of me, your revelation that I'm a cornerstone, not just a cornerstone, your revelation that I'm a precious cornerstone," he says, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And so Peter, I'm sure, has got this in mind when he is writing this letter, 1 Peter chapter 2. And there, he has this revelation, this understanding that there is no church without Jesus. There is no church, friends, without Jesus. He is central to our faith. He is central to the gospel. When we talk about the gospel, Jesus is the gospel. There cannot be a church, there cannot be a gospel without Jesus. This is a revelation that Peter speaks about and writes about, that Jesus alone is a rock of salvation who saves, who redeems, and reconciles mankind. I love how he quotes Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, and I'm going to read from the New Living Testament. And this is what Peter quotes, what Isaiah prophesied. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, "Look, look." And I trust this morning that as we gathered here, whatever place you find yourself, whether you know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, if Jesus is front and center in your life, or Jesus is just an optional extra at times, I pray this morning that we will look and see who he is, what he has done, what he has given us. Look. Emphasize that, highlight that, underline it. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Can I say that Jesus is safe for us to build our lives upon? He never disappoints. We sang about it, Waymaker. We heard Janet's testimony. Jesus never disappoints. He is eternally who he says he is. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, he is who he says he is. Consistent in power, consistent in grace, consistent in love, consistent in mercy, consistent in power. Jesus is who he says he is. He is safe to build upon. And then he says this, whoever believes need never be shaken. Isaiah 28, verse 16, whoever believes, believes in him, not the church, believes in him, need never be shaken. I believe we need to be part of a church. And it's part of our working, outworking of our faith that we are part of a family. But our belief is rooted not in the pastor who preaches a message or the person who comes to pray for you when you're sick at home. Our faith is rooted in the person of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done. And Jesus is the gospel, head of the church. And in him, through him, there is eternal work of redemption for all. He has been chosen by God, and we confess our faith in him. And as we confess our faith in him, Peter says we are included in his household, a spiritual house, as living stones built into his spiritual house. So I'm going to use a couple of building analogies. So we know that stones aren't uniform. I want to tell a story. A friend of mine who was with me in Uganda some years ago, quite an abstract fellow. And so when he asks questions or he speaks about things, he speaks from an abstract point of mind. And there was this building, incredible stonemason building this wall, beautiful wall, in this one place that we visited near Kampala. And this pile of rocks were there, and we were watching him work. And so this friend of mine, I'm not going to mention him by name because you know who he is, and I don't want to throw him under the bus. But he said, "Where do those rocks come from?" So this guy looks at him dumbfounded, says, "Out of the ground." It's like, duh, where do you think they come from? But he's taken these rocks, all different shapes, all different sizes, different colors, and he is including them in this wall as he builds this wall. And it was fascinating watching this stonemason build this wall. He takes these different stones, and they didn't quite fit. He like chops away at them with his trowel, got them not square, because it wasn't like a brick wall square. It was just a wall of multi-shaped, multi-hued stones built into this wall. And it's a picture of the grace of God that brings diversity into the church. to me, delightful to see a bunch of folk being welcomed in this morning, from young to mature, different ages, and I'm sure different social backgrounds. A beautiful picture of what Peter's saying is that we are living stones. These stones are all different. They're diverse, but they're all included by grace. Peter's saying, each one of us is included by grace. God's grace is what cements us into his household with our diversity. Can I say that? Grant and I might be dressed the same this morning, and John are very different. We said he didn't get the memo this morning. Obviously, not all the elders got the memo, dress up. But anyway, joking. But it doesn't matter how we dress, doesn't matter how we look. They've got more hair than me. John is nodding vigorously. But we are different. And in our differences, in our diversity, God has knitted us together. Just look at the person next to you. Doesn't look like you. Hey, Sue. He's Irish as well. That just makes it a little bit more difficult, you know. He didn't come to church last week, by the way, because Ireland got beaten by Japan. Yeah, and he didn't want to be abused, so I'm taking my chance now. Yeah. See, if you came to church last week, this wouldn't have happened this morning. No jokes. We know each other well. But in our diversity, different languages, different cultures, different looks, God, by his grace, cements us into his building, the church. It's a beautiful picture. And he fits different stones together, cements them in place. A wonderful picture of grace. But you know, just like that stonemason took some stones and started to chip away at them to fit them into the wall, God does that with us. He does that with us. Called the chiseling process. It's not always comfortable, but it's necessary. Because in our diversity, he knows that there's some things that need to be worked on in each of us to make us fit well. And it doesn't happen in isolation. Can I say that the best fitting happens in community? I just love the fact that I've got men surrounding me that challenge me and speak to me about my weaknesses and my failings and encourage me. It doesn't happen in isolation. That's why Peter's saying here, spiritual house included in a spiritual house. These folk that we welcomed in this morning, they understand this value that I'm connected to a household, because it's in a household that God is going to use others to grow me, not just to bless me, but to help build me into being the person that he has called me to be. It's outworked in community, not done in isolation. These stones in a wall, they're all next to each other. And we understand that they're cemented by grace, but they're all next to each other, on top of each other, to bring this complete building that is strong, has a strong foundation. It's the same with us, friends, as the family of God included together in God's household. And some require more shaping than others, like Jono. But we all are ongoingly being shaped into the likeness of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Is that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. The conforming process is this chiseling away, this chipping it away. And God's trowel is the work of the Holy Spirit. God's trowel is his word. God's trowel, sir, ma'am, is that person sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you. It's amazing how he uses others to shape us. And it happens in community. It happens in relationship with one another. So we've looked at the rock. We've been built into God's household as living stones. Second part, with and for purpose. With and for purpose. Not just to hang, not just to pitch up on a Sunday and go home feeling good. We've been connected in this family with purpose, for purpose. We have a role to play. Hence, rock and roll. We have a role to play. And so God has knitted us together. He's cemented us by his grace into this family for us to outwork something of his call, his purpose on our life together in a community that we can bring him glory and honor. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 describes our role as the church, to be a holy priesthood. Note, he doesn't just say priesthood, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to the church. No, to God through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament times, we understand that only a select few, again, Peter's highlighting that everyone is called to purpose. Everybody is called on purpose. Everyone has a role to play. Old Testament times, only the Levites were priests selected. A very select few were selected as priests to bring the offerings for the people. And they would take the offerings on behalf of the people to God and offer them. But now, in the new covenant, through Jesus Christ, we all have access to the grace of God. Not only do we have access to the grace of God, we have all received the grace of God to be a priesthood. Beautiful picture. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, describes, Matthew, the moment that the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The temple that separated the Holy of Holies from the people was torn in half, this curtain. And that tearing in half, at that moment, the blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross, at that moment, his resurrection, at that moment, we were all given access into the Holy of Holies, all given access into the presence of God the Father through Jesus Christ, all made a kingdom of priests for those who will confess Jesus as Lord and Savior and submit their lives to him. Each one became a priesthood at that moment. See, Exodus chapter 14, verse 6. Don't have time, but go and read it sometime. God intended, right from the beginning of time, from the beginning of creation, that his people would be a kingdom of priests, i.e., influence the nations. My heart sings. My heart is so incredibly glad when I hear just these folk testifying to going to Uganda and going to Port Alfred, going to different communities, hanging as a bunch of young folk, experiencing God and making him known. That's what the gospel is about. There's a word that was spoken over this church many, many years ago by Chanel Rousseau, a lady who we recognize carries a prophetic gift, who we trust hugely as being accurate, that this church, Bay City Church, would be a church beyond walls. That we would go and we would have an influence in unusual places with unusual people and in unusual ways. Just to be reminded of that word again this morning, that unusualness involves all of us. Not just, as Vernon said, the one or two that go. All of us. And there is a wide open space, friends, for us to be a priesthood. And if you're part of this family and God has knitted your heart here and you feel I can connect here and I can be part of this family, I'm wanting to say on behalf of the eldership, there is room for you to priest. And it's not just within these four walls. There is an element of us serving one another. But ultimately, as we'll see just now, it is serving this world that we live amongst. And so God's intent right at the beginning of time that his people who are called by his name would reveal him to this world that we live in amongst. But we know that Israel messed it up. They missed the plot a little bit. And then they became assimilated into cultures of those nations around them. They lost the idea of their role, their calling in God the Father. And so instead of influencing the nations, they became influenced by the nations, assimilated into their culture. And so Peter emphasizes here that the church is a holy priesthood. So what he's saying is that we are separated, but not isolated. So he doesn't just say, well, you just hang around on a Sunday and just enjoy this moment together, lift your hands, worship God, then go home and just act like the world does. He says, actually, called by my name, living stones. You're living stones here, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day of the week, a living stone beyond these walls. So in fact, he's saying that we are to have contact with our world, but not be contaminated by its practice. Separated. In other words, and Peter will talk about this just now, separated, but not isolated. And I think the church can be a lot more involved. As Vernon was testifying, we see it in Uganda, in influencing the world. And so how's this for a testimony quickly? He referenced Pastor David, young man, planted a church And he said, Lord, where shall I plant a church? And he was led by God to go and plant a church in the middle of a Muslim stronghold. In the middle of a Muslim stronghold. And now that's a massive statement, to go and plant a church in the middle of a Muslim stronghold. So he and his wife and his two kids planted a church in the middle of this Muslim stronghold. They rented a piece of ground. They put up, it's now a brick church, but they put up a few planks and a tin roof, and that's where they started to meet. The Muslims actually got a little bit fed up with a Christian presence in that community. So they went to the owner of that land, the landlord, and they said, listen, we want to buy this land from you so that we can get rid of this Christian, this church. So David heard about it. So he thought, well, the only way I can do it is buy this land. So they're poor. I'm telling you, they're poor. They got nothing. He was given a car. Sold that car, bought that piece of land. Established the church. And they are now influencing that neighborhood with the gospel, because he understands that I have a role to play, that we as a community, we are living stones in this area of darkness. Incredible testimony. And I'm talking, these guys don't have resources, because now you must know is that they are reaching Muslims with the gospel. Muslims are getting saved. It's not like you plant a church with 300 Christians and you know you got the tithes and offerings and that rolling in. Actually, you start with zip, a heart to serve. And they've planted this church, and they are seeing the grace and the favor of God. They are seeing people getting saved daily. Vernon will tell you, an amazing work that they're doing there. People getting saved, Muslims getting saved, because they are a presence in that community. I go to these places, I'm convicted. I'm convicted when I hear the stories, and I just see how God is using them. And so they're in the world, so they don't believe in their practices, they don't follow their practices, they're not contaminated by their practices, but they are living stones revealing the glory and the power of the gospel. And like them, we are being called to do that ourselves. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you can read with me. Our role as a priesthood is to declare the praises, not of our gift, not of our talents, not this local church, not the movement that we are a part of, but to declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. I just love the way the King James Version translates that. It says, show forth the praises. So to declare, not just speaking, it's to show off the praises of Him. So when we are called to be living stones, to be a holy priesthood, the way that we live our lives shows who is important to us. The way that we live our lives shows of what's of most value to us. The way that we live our lives shows who we serve. Who's number one, numero uno, in our hearts. Is it Jesus? Because if it's not Jesus, then we will only reflect and show the world that which is in our heart. Is that not so? To declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. Show forth the praises of Him. And so Peter lands with this, and so I'm going to land with this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. And it's just, if I can echo this in our hearts, dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles. So all he's saying, that's who we are. We're passing through this world. We're actually foreigners and exiles in this world. To abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. He says, live good lives amongst the pagans. Live good lives amongst this world. That though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. So in other words, it's just live such good lives amongst this world in this time that until Jesus comes, please stand with me. Maybe Netta, if I can ask you to come up with your team. Spoke about rock and roll. Okay. So this morning, as we look to the rock, Jesus Christ, and we've been pointed to Him by Peter, and we understand that Jesus, as Peter did, that He is the rock of our salvation, He is the one in whom all of mankind can find redemption and reconciliation. We get as a church, friends, this incredible privilege, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, to make him known. God's intent that through us, that's not just the person next to you, it's you yourself, Sir Man, through us together, corporately, living stones, we get to reveal the power of the gospel, the wisdom of God, to the powers and the principalities, this world that we live amongst. And so I'll pray this morning for us that as we have looked at the Word of God and we've been reminded, A, who Jesus is, B, who what we call to, is that we would walk in the fullness of this revelation in 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm wanting to encourage those folk that we welcomed in, is that you have a wide open space, along with everyone else, to pursue Jesus with a passion and to reveal him with what he has put inside of you, something unique that only you can show him to someone else.